My family has a lot of Christianity in it on both sides. But my parents, they went to a the old school like Church of God. When my dad was younger, he talked about when he would go to church, you had to have your sleeves a certain way and couldn't have your dress too short, just really specific rules and stuff inside the church. And my dad and my mom's family at one point started going to the same church. And my dad was doing a lot of leading worship, and he was part of a gospel group. And my mom was also involved. And I think that that was later, but even before they started dating, my grandpa saw my mom cross in front of their vehicle because they were in the parking lot, and he said, "That woman's gonna make a man a really good wife one day." And my dad's like, "Yeah, whatever, Dad." And come to find out, my parents, they were both dating people. They ended up breaking up with their current boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they ended up dating each other. And about 7 months in, they ended up getting married. And clearly, that's how I happened. And my brother. But my parents always were involved in the church. They never stopped doing any of that. And since I can remember, like some of my earliest memories, my dad was leading worship at our church, because they were traveling with that gospel group, but then they ended up breaking up. And when we switched churches because one of them burnt down, when I was a baby. We got a new pastor, and then my dad started leading worship over there, and they asked him to do it. So I remember, multiple days during the week, I would either be at church listening to people, sing and do stuff, or my mom would be singing a special at church. My parents used to sing for weddings and different things like that. And we would also do like our praise and worship at our house, because when we were moving from church to church, trying to get our building built, we had all of the instruments at our house. So we had this huge, like, baby grand piano in the middle of our living room, and everybody set up all the equipment, and we're right in the middle of, a neighborhood, and we're blasting our music and jamming out, And so this is the norm for me. And, I'm used to, people falling out in the Holy Spirit and people screaming, running down the aisles and everything. Not like the to the point where it's like contradictory to the Bible or anything that's like where they're taking things out of context, but people just there was just a lot of praise and worship in our church. My dad did a lot of Ron Canole, a lot of Alvin Slaughter, and we would go to different crusades and stuff for different pastors, and we would travel. It was a fun time, and a lot of movement of the Holy Spirit. But when I was younger, I at five, it's my earliest memory, I prayed for God to give me dandelions because they were my favorite flower.
Okay.
And every time I would wake up, I would go out, and our front yard and our backyard was completely covered in dandelions. They were like a foot tall. They weren't short. And I could go out and pick them for my mom. And my dad would get so frustrated because he would have to mow our lawn. He's like, "I keep trying to kill these things and they won't die." And I'm like, "I was praying for them." My dad's like, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "Yeah, I prayed for him, Dad." And shortly before that, at a stoplight when I was five, I actually prayed with my parents while we were in the car because I gave my life to Christ. And so those were kind of like pretty close in timeline. And I think it was literally just a building of my faith. So as I got older, I knew, that God was real. And so by the time I was 10, something happened where I got into something that literally gave me this rash. Like, it wasn't even a rash. It was like these blotches. It looked like, I don't know, almost like boils or blotches, but like some of them were even as big as my hand, and they were about as thick as my hand too, all over my body. And they were itchy, and it wasn't like hives or anything. It was just this, and from head to toe, like on my face, everything. And I didn't know what to do. My mom and dad were like, I don't even know what to think about this. We're like, we're going to wait, let it, you know, wait like 24 hours, and then we'll take you to the doctor. Well, we were watching TBN. That was regularly on my TV, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, for all who don't know. And so we were watching, and they were on there, and they were talking about calling in for prayer. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, he gave me dandelions. He can heal me too. So I call him up, and I prayed on the phone, and within 24 hours, gone, and never came back. So I don't even know what happened. The only thing I could think of is we were rolling in brand new wood chips for the church, and I was thinking maybe I had a reaction to one of the chemicals or something, but I don't know. Me and my brother were just being stupid kids. I don't know.
Did your brother have the same thing as well?
No, that's the weird thing. So, yeah.
That's interesting. I've never really heard of a disease like that. I'm sure that they do happen, but it's quite significant to have boils like that all over your body, and then within 24 hours, they're gone. So, I mean, it sure does look to me like something supernatural happened, although I can't confirm because I don't really know what it is, but it's quite incredible. So that's pretty cool. And that was your first taste of God. And like you said, you were in an environment where that was normal to you, which is going to be interesting when we get later into your story and kind of the path that you took. But I would say the biggest, in the beginning, the first change that happened was when you left Christian school. You went to a Christian school, and then you kind of left that Christian environment. Why was that such an important turning point in your life?
Well, I went to school with these kids. There was only like 13 in my class, and I knew them since I was in preschool. So they're basically like my brothers and sisters. So there's only 13 people in my grade, and they were always the people that we went to birthday parties with, always the people that we played with. And then my parents, and the thing is, it's like, even to this day, I'll talk to some of them. I only keep in contact with like one or two now, but even when I was a little older, I ran into some of them, and they never looked at our relationship the way that I did, but I always viewed them like they were my family, and I always thought of them as special people. And so when my parents were like, hey, we're going to move, a lot of that had to do with, we had our pastor that we had at our church ended up cheating on his wife, and he divorced her, and she had multiple sclerosis and put her in a nursing home by herself, convinced his daughter that she was at fault versus him. And our whole church broke up because of it. And my parents to this day they struggle with going back to church, but their faith and everything is still there. They just do a lot of stuff at home. And then we also had a predator next door in our suburb. He was molesting, and I don't know if he actually had sex with my friend, but she was molested from the age of 8 to 14 for sure. And he did try to get me, but my dad, even for a little while, thought that my mom didn't know what she was talking about, because my mom literally just had this feeling. And I know it was the Holy Spirit warning her, but she wouldn't have any type of like good emotions toward this guy. She was always just really short with him. Anytime I would go over to his house, she'd be pacing outside, and she literally just would not like let up. She's like, I just know that there's something wrong with this guy. And I would hear conversations with my parents, and my dad's like, ah, it's no big deal, Doris, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. Well, come to find out, my mom was right. My friend pulled me aside one day, and she's like, hey, this is going on. I go, dude, we got to say something. And she's like, no, I don't want to say anything, because it could result in him hurting his granddaughter, and he'll attack his granddaughter instead of me. Then I'm like, dude, this isn't cool. And you know, anytime, you know, parents are like, hey, come tell us. Well, I did. So the second that we went on a bike ride, I had already knew like what was going on, and we were out there, and he started talking about us starting our period at one point, and I'm like, I have a stomach ache. I'm going to go home. So I rode my bike home. I told my mom, and she goes, he did what? She gets her house coat on, doesn't knock on his door. She goes into his house, and they have the door closed next door. I have my door closed in the opposite house, and I'm in the basement, and I can hear my mother yelling and telling him to keep his pants zipped and all of those lovely things, and to stay away from us, and yada yada. So we got a choice from my dad that we could either move to Alabama, where our family is, or we can move to the middle of nowhere in Michigan. So I picked Michigan because I didn't know any of our many cousins in Alabama. So we moved there, and that was pretty devastating for me because that's all I knew. And so we moved out to a public school in a, literally, like, I have never seen so many white people in my life. I'm used to diversity because I'm from, like, the Detroit area, you know? So we move out to the middle of nowhere, and it's Cracker Town. Racist area, very, like, making jokes about everybody. And I'm just like, dude, you know, this is not cool, you know, because I wasn't raised that way, you know, at all. And so I was like, okay. So I went from 13 kids in my class to about 100 in my class.
Wow.
And everybody was really mean. It was just really hard to adjust to that type of area. And we went from having all kinds of sounds and traffic to crickets outside, frogs, absolute silence. It's a little bit of a culture shock.
Right. And it was very different from, you know, the life that you were used to living at that point. And changing that whole environment from a Christian school to a secular public school, and also, I imagine, as well, changing from a little bit of the culture of where you were to Michigan. Why was it so hard for you in high school? Because you had a lot of challenges throughout high school. So can you explain why it was such a challenge?
Well, at Christian school, it was really easy for me because I always had an excuse, because we were going to church every Wednesday. We had like an actual like hour where we actually had Bible class every day. So anytime my friends would do something, we'll just call stupid, you know, outside of what God would want them to do, I would always be able to use that as a fallback. Like, hey, we're supposed to be acting like blah, blah, blah. Well, not in public school. So I, you know, I had took a purity promise at 13 before we left, because that was kind of like a big thing in the 90s, like the purity ring, the purity promise with the necklaces. It started to become like a fad. I mean, not saying that it's a bad thing, but, you know, so I did that. And then there was a new girl, like right before I left school, and she had not been at a Christian school at all. She had already been having sex with guys. She had already been like sexualized in some way. I'm not really sure how, but somehow I befriended her, and I just was really drawn to her. And so we started to become friends. Well, I ended up lying to my mom and hanging out with a 16-year-old and making out. It was supposedly my first kiss, but it ended up being a makeout session for 2 hours at the movie theater because I didn't know what was done. And the guy was 16 and I was 13. So, you know, that was kind of a little bit of a turning point. And then I get to this new school and I made a friend and we started hanging out, and there was just no values in any of the people that I knew. They were either, and like, I'm not trying to single anybody out who's Catholic, but some of the people that I was hanging out with were either Catholic with no values, or people that just didn't have any like belief in Jesus at all. And whenever I would talk about God, like, I'd either get like the, oh, okay. You know, I was basically the goody two shoes for a while. And, you know, I was trying to hold on my end of things, but I ended up starting to cuss just like all of the other kids because that's what everybody did. And I ended up trying a cigarette or two because that's what everyone did. And, you know, I was just exposed to a lot of stuff that even though my parents told me not to, I feel like I didn't get instructed on how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, even though I was exposed to all of the things that were right. I didn't actually get taught to get in the secret place, to talk to him, to truly develop my relationship with him. And I feel like if I may have done that, it could have saved me from a lot of issues.
Yeah. So you go to a different school and they're very different. So your Christian values are kind of frowned upon. So it was hard for you to make friends, I would imagine. But as well, you had a health issue that was making it very hard for you. So we're talking about this because it's instrumental as far as what happens after, later in your life. The period of high school and not fitting in is a big, big part of why you ended up going around the route that you did. So can you explain what was happening in school with health issue and how that was really hindering you making friends and stuff?